we present the news quiz with your chairman, Simon Hoggart.
Hello and welcome to the news quiz. We start with a notice from an exhibition in the University Library, Cambridge, read by Harriet Cass.
Never leave books near mice, pigeons, children and other vermin that are likely to damage them.
Our thanks to Rebecca Tamvakis of Newnham College, Cambridge, for sending that in. Now let's meet the teams. Please welcome first, on my right, Francis Ween and Clive Anderson. And opposite them on my left, Alan Corran and Jeremy Hardy. Francis, which roast beef gave the sprouts a roasting?
Well, it's this Blair and Europol.
Yes.
Again. We have this every week, can't we?
I know.
Well, it's just the same old stuff. Blair has been storming around Europe. Now he's the president, or about to be.
It's odd, isn't it? Because he's going around, and Gordon Brown, they're both saying how enthusiastically pro-European they are. But it's a bit like praising the dish at a dinner party while turning down a second course. So we love Europe, apart from the euro and having the constitution. We're not going to do that. And objecting to the common agricultural policy. But apart from that, we love Europe, everything.
Which is the speed with which it's fallen apart. It was like going on holiday and coming back and finding your house vandalised. Yeah.
It keeps being said that Blair himself said that he wants to do to Europe what he did to the Labour Party, modernise it and all that sort of thing. And this is his new big challenge in his final term.
New Labour, new Europe.
I thought what he did to the Labour Party, remember he famously said, my work won't be complete in Labour until it's learned to love Peter Mandelson, and he's now dumped Mandelson in Brussels to try the same thing.
Of course, he is doing to Europe what he did to the Labour Party.
Absolutely.
What Alan says is right. There's a particularly poignant for me. I do a programme on Tuesday mornings when we're on, which is about sort of legal matters. And we did a programme about the European Constitution. And unusually for me, several people wrote to me to say what a nice programme it was and how to explain the European Constitution and its legal ramifications. But they sent their letters. I went off on holiday. By the time I came back and received the first complimentary mail I've ever had, the whole European Constitution disappeared anyway. So...
It's all just got a bit carried away with itself, the common market, either. I liked it when it was just an experiment to see what happens when you put a lot of butter in the sea. It was like a sort of brave bid for Arts Council funding, wasn't it?
Ahead of his rotating presidency, Tony Blair delivered a ferocious critique of the European Union in a 30-minute speech to members of the European Parliament. Some MEPs even dared to criticise Mr Blair to his face. Both of them. 2 points to Francis. Clive, who thinks Charles Clarke's new bill is no laughing matter?
Oh, I can't remember which new bill Charles Clarke has brought in.
This week.
Is it either abolishing juries? Is it making us smoking not allowed?
It's the Rowan Atkinson bill.
Oh, that, of course. I'm sorry. Yes, it's the we mustn't be rude about religious faith or anything. Are we going around being rude about people who are religious?
Well, Cherie, possibly.
Yeah. So we mustn't make jokes about Cherie Blair if we suggest in any way she's... has a faith of any sort.
Well, she does. She gave a speech in praise of the Virgin Mary only a couple of weeks ago.
I'm not sure you can say that on a comedy programme anymore.
But the evidence that none of these things is worth a Pope's nipple is that the news quiz gets away with jokes like Pope's nipple every week.
But this is a law which is being brought in. The reason why you've got away with it so far is that the law hasn't
happened.
No, we
get away with the racial stuff, the German stuff, all that.
But it's incitement to religious hatred. I think Rowan Atkinson is... Do you know what? I think it might be to do with the fact that he hasn't been on telly much recently, Rowan. not to denigrate him. I did do a very hilarious scene with him in Blackadder Goes Forth some years ago.
It rescued that whole series, but didn't it?
It's
religious hatred specific or general?
It's to stop people hating. Ostensibly, it's to protect Muslims, although incitement to racial hatred was ostensibly to protect black people, and it's only been used twice, and in both cases they prosecuted black people. Yeah. So I suspect this bill is going to be used to prosecute Muslims.
It's a deal over the Iraq war.
Yeah.
It was a bit of a harsh war to start, but we'll now have a law that says you can't be rude about the Muslim faith or any other faith.
That's, well, Christians that's as well.
Yeah, but there already is a law that protects that.
No, blasphemy.
Blasphemy, yes.
Yeah, but it's specific, it's inciting people to hate. Because you don't want people incited to hate Christians, which is why they shouldn't allow Ann Atkins on the radio, isn't it?
There should be a much... Well, I think they're just pussyfooting around this. There should be a law that says you mustn't incite anybody to hate anybody else, ever, about anything. So you could round up football fans or most of your material, you know, there'd be just... And that would be it. We will be nice people after that, or we'd be locked up in filthy prisons.
This is the proposed new law against religious hatred, which passed its second reading in the Commons this week. Comedians were worried it may no longer be possible to make jokes about religion. Here at the BBC, though, we shall fearlessly carry on, as we've always done, poking fun against all religions regardless, except for the ones that write rude letters or threaten to kill us. Jeremy, who won't be getting extra credit for their taxing system?
This is working families tax credit, which I don't fully understand. But it's this system whereby they accidentally give people lots of money and people think, cool, that's a result, and then they hunt them down like dogs. It's a bit like VAT, really, where you think you've got a lot more money than you have. Weird thing with VAT is you have to charge... If we do this, right, ordinary people, I'm just explaining to you this, we have to charge the BBC VAT. BBC gives it to us. We give it to the Customs and Excise, who are those men in tri-cornered hats looking for rum in Cornwall. We give it to them, and then they give it back to the BBC. And the money actually has to change hands. You think they could do it with buttons or matches? Yeah. But, yeah, it's this new benefits system.
Well, more specifically, it's because it's been totally cocked up by a computer. And $13 billion has gone missing. Disappeared. It's vanished. Press Brown is really corrupt. He's billions of pounds in a Zurich bank account.
What would he spend it on? He'd spend it on...
He'd spend it on taking over a country, and it could be ours.
Just buy a new calculator.
Gordon Brown has promised to overhaul the tax credit system after reports by the Citizens Advice Bureau and the Parliamentary Ombudsman highlighted the plight of families struggling to repay money which had been paid to them in error by the Inland Revenue. Except the Inland Revenue blamed computers for the delays. They'd have got on a lot faster if they hadn't been distracted by playing Minesweeper. Alan, listen to this. So I smile and say, when the lovely flame
dies, smoke it in your mind. Yes, smoking is to be banned by 2008. And it's going to be like 1984. It's really going to be like the thought. These children are going to be asked to inform on their parents. They're going to be given a central telephone number, and if they see their parents smoking in a public place, they're supposed to phone someone. Oh, it's about an increasingly free society, Simon.
Yep.
So instead of being in office and you have to step outside to the street to smoke, now we'll have to step out of England into France. Gather in little groups and then come back on the ferry.
And it's all about the health of the nation. And we have a national health system that can't deal with... We can't keep people alive for as long as that. We should all drink and smoke very heavily.
Are you smoking at the moment?
No, this is a pen.
Government has published a consultation paper containing plans to criminalise smoking in public places, such as pubs, outside office buildings and bus shelters. The harsh restrictions on public smoking cause many smokers to take a sharp intake of breath, wheeze noisily and cough for 20 minutes. At the end of round one, the scores are everybody level with 4 points. We start round two with a cutting from The Guardian.
Benefit cheat Martin Croson was jailed for 12 months after being photographed wrestling an alligator while claiming he was unable to walk.
Thanks to Suzanne Rowles for spotting that. Francis, why are hampers, cool boxes and corkscrews out?
Is this something to do with Wimbledon? You're not allowed to bring in your own champagne. Is that right? Something like that?
Yes.
I think that's good. They've been getting people's hampers off them and taking out the cutlery. They should take the food out. Because I think it's rude when people bring picnics, because I think they should be made to share. You turn up at a public event with a packed lunch, it's not fair. Because I get trains a lot, and it's really irksome when people have made a picnic. You know, those people who've planned for a year their trip to the Comb Museum in Newark-upon-Trent. And they've booked their seats, and they've not brought sandwiches, they've brought things to make sandwiches from. What's horrible when you go to cafes now to buy a sandwich? A, the sandwiches are really, really cold because of an EU ruling. EU, is it? EEC?
Common Market.
Marshall Plan. It's to do, the bread has to be very, very cold and damp. But sandwiches are only nice in that brief window between room temperature and botulism, aren't they? And the other really irksome thing is the wrap, because I just don't know when the bath towel turned into a light meal.
Jeremy, you're food obsessed.
And the food in London Zoo, the money you pay. All the bloody gorillas are getting free scoff, and they do flip all those gorillas.
I'm going to the zoo tomorrow to see my pelican. My daughter adopted a pelican on my behalf.
Well, they must have slackened the rules on adoption. It used to be you couldn't adopt someone of a different race.
Tomorrow.
Adopt a different species.
Well, tomorrow I've got to go there and tell it it's adopted. That's even worse for me.
Wimbledon officials have banned all hard-sided bags, including hampers, as well as metal cutlery and corkscrews from the grounds in a bid to tighten security. But Wimbledon fans have been outraged by the confiscation of their hampers, and Mr. Newlands of Skegness said, and this is absolutely true, this is just about the worst thing that has happened to us since the Germans bombed the chip shop. Right, who's been royally called to account this week?
Oh, that's, yes, it's the royal family. They do this every year now, don't they? They tot up how much the royal family costs, and they knock out it's about £36 million, which is nothing, because if you divide it by the population, it turns out it's 61 pence. Mm-hmm. But they publish quite a detailed thing, like they go on a train. The royal train costs a lot. There's one journey that went from Penzance to Aberdeen, £460,000. If they'd gone off peak, they could have done it... also, giving out food at the garden parties.
The average guest at the Buckingham Palace garden parties eats 14 sandwiches. Yeah. That's the average.
Yes. Well, they should have a Scottish royal family, because they've cancelled the one at Holyrood. They have a party there every year at Holyrood. But there they just say, oh, come in, you'll have had your tea, obviously. And so they don't.
For 61 pence, actually, is a day. I worked it out, because I have sod all else to do. You know, the calculator is exactly 24 hours of a BBC licence fee. So you can either have a day listening to Radio 4 or the Royal Family. I think it's a close call.
Yeah, don't put you to. Well, Prince William's looking. He's going on work experience. Now he's done his degree. But where do you go? He's going to be king. So does he go to, to Luxembourg and follow an archduke around?
They don't know. I mean, they just don't know about other forms of transport, though. I mean, he sees a bus. He sees a bus go up Constitution Hill and says, oh, look, a double-decker Aston Martin. It's not their fault.
What do you think? They should get a Royal Family rail card and travel around.
Show them a picture of a bus and explain simple things to them. I mean, and a train and a plane and easy jet. Can you imagine? Can you imagine the entire royal family at Luton? And then the thing goes up and they run. They haven't got a seat. And they're running. But they don't know about any of that. They know nothing.
But that's their job, is to be the royal family, isn't it?
Very naive.
Why, this is practically Republican talk over
but
there.
But we could.
I'm paying 61 pence to be entertained by these nutters.
Mind
suits
you.
Me.
But the audience is thinking that about the licence fee at the moment. So,
Mind you, America also has a head of state who's the idiot spawn of a former head of state. But,
The Queen published her annual accounts this week, boosted by £1 million council tax rebate from Westminster Council, but drained by the royal's substantial travelling costs. The expensive royal train once again came under fire, but sadly Prince Philip isn't the shot he once was. Jeremy, listen to this.
Alan's just admitting that he doesn't know what Lost in Space was. It was that thing with the robot and the man. This is Cosmos, isn't it?
No.
Isn't it? Isn't that the Lost in Space music?
No.
Ask him a question, Simon, it might help.
It's a theme from Casualty, Jeremy. Jeremy, what emergency measures may result in casualties?
Ah, this will be the theme from Casualty. This is, the ambulances are taking... I was trying to follow this. I was actually in traffic on Monday morning trying to follow this. It's to do with response times. Ambulances take different lengths of time to get to different places on account of places are different distances away. And The government is trying to standardise this by pulling houses closer so that they're all in a radius of an ambulance station. I couldn't follow it. It was on the Today programme, but it was in that sort of losing the will to live period between 8.15 and 9 o'clock. You know that? That sort of winding down thing they do now in the last 45 minutes of the programme, where instead of saying, I must stop you there, they say, please keep going. Promise not to interrupt or try and stop you. Just keep talking as long as you can. And it's to do with that. It's to do with ambulances. They take different lengths of time, and the government wants to standardise it because they found a perfect length of time.
I think
the most wonderful length of time it can possibly be to be lying at the foot of your stairs while the cat types out 999 with its mouth. And you're pressing your panic button, and all it's doing is making your stair lift go up and down the stairs. And changing the channel on your telly. But apparently the perfect time is 3 minutes, is it? And they're not hitting that target.
I think you're going off the... You're going mad. They've come up with a plan to halve the number of ambulances, and the idea behind this, as I've analysed it, is that because people get so ill going to hospital now, with all these superbugs, if you halve the number of ambulances, half the number of people will get to hospital, half the number of people get superbugs, and the rest can just die on the side of the road. Have a cigarette and just die.
A government review of Britain's ambulance fleet is considering a plan to use medics in people carriers rather than traditional ambulances. Not only will the ambulance fleet be cut in half, but the nee-no will become just nee. Alan, who's going off the rails about the price of decongestant?
Yes, well, a couple of weeks ago we had this brilliant Alistair Darling proposals for road differentials. And if you go in the rush hour on a decent road, you have to spend £1.32. But if you're prepared to go across country at 4 a.m. to get to your office, it only costs you threepence. And this has proved so successful, at least in their tiny heads, they want to do exactly the same with the trains. So that if you're required to get the 8.14 from Brockenhurst to go to your office in London, then it's going to cost you a lot of money. But if you're prepared, it's rather like air miles, if you're prepared to go at 2 a.m. via Estonia, you will actually get a free sandwich. And you'll probably be in credit. And Gordon Brown will come and take it away and say, there's been a mistake with the computer, but the credit you're in has just ceased to exist.
Mr. Anyway. Darling, I cannot keep the dilithium crystals going any longer. They're going to have two-tier trains, aren't they? Mind you get those on bits of track maintained by Jarvis, I've noticed quite often. One carriage on top of the other is quite a common feature.
That's a brilliant idea, the double-decker train, isn't it? You'll be able to get on the train to Euston, it'll rush you all the way to the first bridge in Camden. And then come back again.
The Association of Train Companies, ATOC, wants to charge passengers more to travel on rush hour trains. The plan to charge train passengers more during rush hour has already prompted a lawsuit from the British Oxymoron Association. Britain's trains now carry several million people a day, with nearly 50% of that number actually inside the train. So at the end of round two, the scores are Alan and Jeremy 8, Francis and Clive just in the lead with 9. And before we start the final round, here's a notice from a Sussex website for Brighton-based spiritual groups.
Bright Horizons, positive living group. This group has ceased for the time being.
Thanks to John Saunders of Kingston for emailing that. Francis, listen to this.
Once a lonely caterpillar sat and cried to a sympathetic beetle by his side. I've got nobody to hug, I'm such an ugly bug, then a spider and a dragonfly.
It's the Lost in Space theme, isn't it?
Francis, why are the bugs getting ugly over in Essex?
Well, yes, it's Frinton-on-Sea, and I can't think of a place that deserves it more. An invasion of poisonous caterpillars has descended on Frinton-on-Sea, the most snooty and genteel place in the whole of East Anglia, which...
The most genteel place in Essex, is that what you're saying?
Not that there's much competition, frankly. They don't even allow buses into Frinton for fear that they might bring the great unwashed.
No pubs either.
No pubs. There's a fish and chip shop, but it took them 20 years to get planning permission, only on condition that it didn't sell fish and chips and that it was invisible to the naked eye. It's that sort of place. And suddenly, about 2 million toxic caterpillars have descended on Frinton. No provocation at all. And they're sitting around there, tripping people up. And they tickle them with their little furry bits and make them itch a lot.
And you're not allowed to scratch publicly in Frinton either, are
you? I mean, you can run away from a caterpillar, can't you? I mean, even if they're sort of dashing towards you, they only sort of lollop along at about a millimetre.
A caterpillar can break a swan's arm. That's why you don't see arms on swans anymore. Why do caterpillars... Why can't they just do moths, though? That's what you think... We think when Allah was creating the world... covering me bases there. When Yahweh was doing his shtick, why didn't he just create moths and butterflies, which are quite pretty? Why did he do all the whole thing with the crawly, horrible cabbage-eating thing that turns into... It doesn't even look. It doesn't. You wouldn't see a caterpillar and think, that's going to be a butterfly wonder. It's the most bizarre thing.
It's a career break.
It's restart gone mad.
Nobody's got a job for life anymore.
It is.
You start off as a caterpillar, then you have to do a bit of unemployment as a pupa, and then out you come as a moth for a day, and then you die.
Then you die.
Yeah.
It's like Neil and Christine Hamilton's career, really, isn't it?
Only they're poisonous.
Holidaymakers and residents in the southeast are being warned to keep alert for plagues of toxic caterpillars after recent mild winters have resulted in an explosion in the numbers of the brown-tailed tussock moth. The caterpillars are brown with two white stripes down the side. Being from Essex, they assume this will make them go faster. Clive, first the bowler, then the brolly. What next?
This is strange. There's somebody called Sir Andrew Turnbull, who is the Cabinet Secretary. But apparently he's a bit of a style guru as well. And he has now declared that you no longer need to wear a tie, or he thinks civil servants will be wearing. And I'm not sure I agree with this. In the dear dead days when I was... a barrister. It was so simple, I knew what to wear. I wore a three-piece suit, stuff around my neck, and a simple horsehair wig on my head. And since I've drifted out of that, I never know what to wear. But at least a few rules, like you have to wear a tie and a suit on occasions. But no, that's all gone. Now we're dressed down Friday, dressed down Monday to Thursday. And
good Lord, I blame Judy Geeson for hanging round in Carnaby Street in hot pants and thigh-length boots. The world's gone mad. It's all these Italians riding round on scooters, smoking their cappuccinos. That's what's happened.
But they've got to do something to earn their money, civil servants. Surely they can at least be bothered to put a collar and a tie on in the morning and go to work.
No, make them be creative. Make them choose something so that you can judge them on what they're wearing. So you go, and you know they're turning down your asylum claim, and you just fix them in your steely gaze and say, "That shirt with those shoes, I don't think so."
Neckties for civil servants could be a thing of the past, according to Sir Andrew Turnbull, the outgoing cabinet secretary. In the 1630s, the French invented the cravat, which roughly translated means item worn in old carry-on films to signify homosexuality. Jeremy, which space journey didn't turn out to be plain sailing?
I don't know, but I know the music is Dr. Kildare. This is the Russians made this thing. And it's not like, it's ultra thin, it's extra sensitive, new kind of space thing. It's not like, I liked when the Soviets made spaceships from pig iron and they were driven by squirrels. They made a very, very thin spaceship from sails and sent it into space with nobody driving it, and they've lost it. See, bad idea all round. Because nothing useful has come out of space exploration apart from Velcro.
No, Velcro's got nothing to do with space travel.
Isn't it?
No.
Didn't they... That's what they say about space travel.
No,
it's
no.
been really good because it was only by going to space that they discovered Tupperware.
No.
And pink, and pink grapefruit and fajitas.
The failure of Cosmos 1, a privately funded experimental spacecraft designed to sail through space, pushed only by the light of the sun. Cosmos 1 was launched into space from a submarine. I think we may have spotted one problem right there. Alan, why may magazine sellers have discovered the sweat smell of success?
Yes, well, it would be the most humid night of the year where you chose to ask me this very unsavoury question. It's something to do with pheromones, which are things that stand in gardens and smell of armpit. Apparently, there is something contained within the odour beneath a man's arm which makes a man want to buy magazines that are sprayed with it. So if you want to sell GQ, you rub it in Wayne Rooney's armpit, and you can charge an extra £4, because people will rush out and buy it, irrespective of whether Abby Titmuss is on the cover or not. They would rather have a male armpit smelling on the cover. But it's some sort of attraction between men and their magazines. And if the magazines smell like the men normally smell after they've finished looking at the magazines, then you have this wonderful symbiotic commercial relationship.
Alan, there's a magazine called Nuts. What should that smell of?
Well, presumably GQ stands for Genital Quarterly, then.
A study by Dr. Michael Kirksmith at the University of Ulster suggests that the pheromone androstenol, usually found in underarm sweat, can persuade men to buy magazines. Though pheromones play a major role in the courtship of lower animals, the main chemical transmitting sex signals in human remains alcohol. Before we reveal the final scores, let's hear the cuttings the teams have brought along. Francis.
This was from Monday's Guardian. About the great drought, which is drying up drinking water across Australia, and it says, creating the conditions for a revolution in water use, especially in Goulburn, southwest of Sydney. Goulburn's residents are likely to become the first to start drinking treated sewage, a practice long shunned elsewhere in Australia. Someone's got to do it, said Paul Stevenson, Goulburn's mayor, and then it'll probably go through the rest of Australia.
Clive.
I've got one from Mark D. Taylor from the Bridge North Journal. It says, we have been asked to point out that former Stotterston policeman Joe Lloyd, who died recently at the age of 89, was known as Stuffer Lloyd by his friends, and not Snuffer.
Jeremy.
This is from the Keighley News, which is a newspaper in Keighley, in Yorkshire. And it says, a postman flashed his private parts at an elderly widow while delivering mail, a court heard. Prosecutor Michael Hammond said that the woman saw 44-year-old Gaines walking up her garden path, exposing himself. Gaines denied the incident completely, saying the woman must have mistaken and must have seen his thumb instead.
I'll do this one from the Uxbridge and Hillingdon Gazette, which I quite like. Residents living nearby in Edinburgh Drive, Ickenham, are teaming up with children, parents and teachers to give Princess Anne a right royal welcome when she visits the school on Tuesday week. Apart from anything else, they are to contact Hillingdon Council to see whether the refuse collection can be rescheduled to accommodate the princess.
Thank you all. Let's look at the final score. Alan and Jeremy have 16, but thanks to my unique scoring system, Francis and Clive are this week's winners with 17 points. And before we leave you, here's a cutting from Loot magazine sent in by Barry Cullen McGull.
Undertaker's overcoat, slightly worn on one shoulder.
With that, goodbye.
Taking part in the news quiz were Francis Green, Clive Anderson, Jeremy Hardy and Alan Corrin. The chairman was Simon Hoggett and the news was read by me, Harriet Cass. The chairman's script was written by Lucy Clark, Simon Littlefield, George Poles and Dave Cohen. And the producer was Katie Tyrrell.